Following are comments on William Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice, Act 4. I am a tainted wether of the flock, meetest for death. As Shylock opens his case with a strong reminder about Venice's commercial imperatives, Antonio says he is resigned to death and would as well be done with the trial. In Act 4, Scene 1, as the trial is about to begin, Antonio again appears resigned. Why bother with a man the Duke calls a quote-unquote stony adversary? Act 4, Scene 1, Line 4. At this point, the anti-Jewish invective is severe, which is evident even in the way the Duke wraps up his preamble with a mean-spirited pun. Quote-unquote, we all expect a gentle answer, Jew. Act 4, Scene 1, Line 34. As the Norton editor points out, that's a pun on gentle and Gentile. But Shylock also shows great harshness in this scene. By Christian lights, he isn't claiming to be better than his adversaries. Quote unquote, I give no reason, nor I will not, more than a lodged hate and a certain loathing I bear Antonio. Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 59 through 61. We, the audience, have some insight into Shylock's grounds for this hate, but how is the play's internal law court audience to know that? When the Duke tries to shame him with the concept of mercy, Shylock offers the chilling response, quote unquote, what judgment shall I dread, doing no wrong? Act 4, Scene 1, Line 89. This rhetorical question is also an advance response to the claim that Portia, disguised as the attorney Balthazar, will soon stake for the concept of mercy. As far as Shylock is concerned, his stance conforms to and therefore reaffirms the law. He considers himself perfectly righteous in his suit to the assembled court. Shylock has purchased the flesh of a Christian hypocrite at great personal cost. He will not give it up, and the state cannot afford to dismiss his suit, as he says to the Duke, quote unquote, if you deny me, fie upon your law, there is no force in the decrees of Venice. Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 101 through 102. Money isn't the issue, though Venetian commercial interests make up part of his justification. As Antonio himself said earlier in Act 3, Scene 3, the law Shylock invokes can't be ignored lest the Republic's status suffer with international merchants. Personal and collective revenge is Shylock's matter, not the ducats Antonio owes him. This angle is one that Antonio, Bassanio, and the other Christians simply cannot understand due to their insistent stereotyping of Shylock as a flinty-hearted, scarcely human bogeyman. This is obvious in such statements as the one Antonio makes early in the proceeding. Quote unquote, I pray you, think you question with the Jew. Act 4, Scene 1, Line 70. The merchant adds a few poetical images to reinforce his point, but in truth, the simple phrase, the Jew, says everything we need to know about Antonio's attitude toward Shylock. The Duke makes no headway with Shylock, and neither do Graziano's vile, baiting imprecations have any effect on him. Antonio, for his part, seems prepared to give up the ghost. Quote unquote, I am a tainted wether of the flock, meetest for death. Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 114 through 115. The wealthy merchant aligns himself with the dimension of Christian practice that has earned it the title, religion of sorrow. The quality of mercy is not strained. Shylock insists on the literal sufficiency of his bond, so when Portia Balthazar advances a plea for unconstrained compassion or mercy, the plaintiff rejects it out of hand. Still in Act 4, Scene 1, Portia, disguised as Balthazar, now enters. She bears a letter from Dr. Bellario praising him as a young doctor of laws and against Shylock she soon unveils the essence of her moral argument. Quote-unquote, "The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath." Act 4, Scene 1, lines 182 through 184. Strained, as the Norton editor's gloss points out, here means constrained or compelled. As far as the play's Christians are concerned, the very fact that Shylock has to ask, quote-unquote, "On what compulsion must I," when he is enjoined to show compassion, condemns him morally. Act 4, Scene 1, line 181. Against Portia Balthazar's suggestion, quote-unquote, "In the course of justice, none of us should see salvation," Shylock hurls back, quote-unquote, "My deeds upon my head, I crave the law, the penalty and forfeit of my bond." Act 4, Scene 1, lines 197 through 198, and 204 through 205. Portia Balthazar admits that the state can't help here, and Shylock, ever strict, protests that he has, quote-unquote, "an oath in heaven to stick to the bond." Act 4, Scene 1, line 226. In his view, he is like the biblical Apocrypha's Susanna, being championed by a veritable Daniel against the elders who tried to seduce her and then falsely accused her, constituting a corrupt court. See Daniel chapter 13. Portia Balthazar demonstrates what she considers the callous attitude of Shylock. Witness his refusal to keep a surgeon nearby because no such thing is mentioned in his contract with Antonio. Act 4, Scene 1, lines 255 through 256. In mentioning the spilling of Christian blood so centrally in connection with Shylock's bond, the play may thereby be connecting the two in a way that obliquely references the infamous blood libel, so-called, the notion that Jews murder Gentiles so they can use their blood in rituals such as the Passover. Its more distant implication is that Jews are guilty of shedding Christ's blood. From this perspective, Shylock's failure to note the presence of blood in his bond would look like guilty evasion and shiftiness, not just a strict literalist reading. Antonio is ready to depart from this world with a reaffirmation of his love for Bassanio. Act 4, Scene 1, lines 271 through 275. This leads Bassanio to make an extreme utterance, wishing his wife and goods to heaven to redeem the situation. Quote unquote, "I would lose all, I sacrifice them all here to this devil to deliver you." Act 4, Scene 1, lines 284 through 285. After Graziano repeats the gesture, Shylock comically notes the outrageousness of such remarks. Quote unquote, "These be the Christian husbands." Act 4, Scene 1, line 293. It would be hard to overestimate the smug self-certainty of this kind of reasoning and oath-making on the part of some of the Christians in this play. They would do any amount of wrong, it seems, to enforce their conception of right in favor of their own tribe. In the present instance, Bassanio turns even his new wife, a flesh-and-blood woman, into a sacrificial cipher in a fruitless attempt to save Antonio. "This bond doth give thee here no jot of blood." Portia Balthazar, seeing her plea for mercy on Antonio's behalf rejected, introduces interpretations of Venetian contract law so literal that they undermine Shylock's already very strict interpretation. Still in Act 4, Scene 1, Portia Balthazar promptly insists that the bond must be read more literally than even Shylock can conceive. She has already advanced a moral argument and met with defiance. Shylock is ready to carve up his Christian rival. Now comes the legal argument. Quote unquote, "This bond doth give thee here no jot of blood." Act 4, Scene 1, line 304. "The penalty for spilling Christian blood is forfeiture of one's goods and property." to the state. Act 4, Scene 1, lines 308 through 309. Furthermore, says Portia, when an alien like Shylock tries to bring about the death of a Venetian citizen, the law prescribes that the citizen shall receive half of the offender's goods, while, quote-unquote, the other half comes to the privy coffer of the state, and the offender's life lies in the mercy of the Duke. Act 4, Scene 1, lines 351 through 354. The theologically grounded aim of Portia Balthazar's strategy, of course, is to demonstrate that Shylock's legal case rests upon a claim, repugnant to Christian doctrine, that humans are free of original sin, so-called, and capable of moral perfection merely through observance of law, with no help from any divine act of compassion, i.e., the willing sacrifice of Jesus Christ to save fallen human souls. The Gospel according to John chapter 3, verse 16, makes the doctrinal statement succinctly. Quote unquote, "For God so loveth the world that he hath given his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Geneva Bible, BibleGateway.com. "You take my life when you do take the means whereby I live." Shylock faces the full burden of his loss at trial. He loses a portion of his wealth and is forced to convert to Christianity. Portia Balthazar tries to get Bassanio to gift her his wedding ring. Still in Act 4, Scene 1, Shylock, surrounded by Christians in a Christian court, must accept Portia's interpretation of the laws of Venice. His case's failure is presented to him as a fait accompli. He has, in fact, sought the death of a Venetian citizen, and so is subject to capital punishment and loss of his estate in the manner that Portia Balthazar has outlined. The Duke pardons Shylock's life and holds out the prospect that the half of his wealth that he now owes the state's general fund may be reduced to a fine. The least ungenerous reading of what Antonio requests is that he asks the Duke to allow Shylock to keep the half of his wealth allotted to the victim, so long as he wills it upon his death to his Christian son-in-law Lorenzo and his daughter Jessica. Act 4, Scene 1, lines 378 through 383. The Christians present, and probably the members of Shakespeare's audiences, consider all this extraordinarily compassionate on the part of the Duke and Antonio. Antonio at least admits that Lorenzo, quote-unquote, lately stole Shylock's daughter, but nobody has a bad word to say about that fact. Act 4, Scene 1, line 383. If the Christians think they are witnessing generosity, Shylock disagrees. And in all likelihood, so do most modern audience members, whatever their religion. In a scene of great pathos, Shylock had already begged the court not to impose ruinous financial penalties on him. If the Christians think they are witnessing generosity, Shylock disagrees, and in all likelihood, so do most modern audience members, whatever their religion. In a scene of great pathos, Shylock had already begged the court not to impose ruinous financial penalties on him. Quote unquote, "You take my house when you do take the prop that doth sustain my house. You take my life when you do take the means whereby I live." Act 4, Scene 1, lines 373 through 375. No matter, the supposedly merciful penalties are levied all the same. Furthermore, and cruelest cut of all, this committed Jewish religionist must, quote unquote, presently become a Christian. Act 4, Scene 1, line 385. This is Antonio's request, and it becomes the Duke's stern command. Quote unquote, "He shall do this, or else I do recant the pardon that I late pronounce it here." Act 4, Scene 1, lines 389 through 390. This is the approximate religious equivalent of castration. Shylock is forced to say, one wants to say pretend, that he is, quote-unquote, content with his lot, now that he has been commanded to convert to Christianity and give away or lose control of much of his fortune. Act 4, Scene 1, Line 392. The word content can hardly mean what it usually would, given the context. Shylock has simply given up, confronted as he is with the full legal and economic power of Venice and the implacable cultural weight of a religion to which he does not adhere. One wonders if, during or after the trial scene, Shakespeare's audience would have remembered Shylock's strongest self-defense and collective defense in Act 3, Scene 1, which drew upon the common humanity he and his fellow Jews share with the Christians of Venice. There seems to be no trace of that argument in anything Shylock says during the trial scene here in Act 4, Scene 1. And soon after uttering the words, "I am content," and promising to sign the necessary deed, he says he is not well and is gone from the play. Michael Radford's magnificent 2004 production of The Merchant of Venice forces us to confront a desolate Shylock, played by Al Pacino, standing alone, locked outside his former synagogue towards the play's end. He may have formally become a Christian, but he is a man without a community. Still, that is the director's addition, not something dictated by any instructions in the text of the play, which affords him no further substantive consideration. Immediately after the trial's conclusion, Portia, still in disguise, responds to Bassanio's offer of a gift by saying that she wants his ring. Act 4, Scene 1, Line 425. To his feeble protest, she declares, quote unquote, "If your wife be not a madwoman, and know how well I have deserved this ring, she would not hold out enemy forever for giving it to me." Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 443 through 446. Bassanio hesitates, and he and Antonio decide to head back to Belmont in the morning. "His ring I do accept most thankfully." Portia Balthazar accepts Bassanio's ring when Graziano catches up with her to turn it over. Nerissa will easily obtain her new husband Graziano's ring, too. In the very brief Act 4, Scene 2, after Antonio argues Bassanio into giving Portia Balthazar his wedding ring as requested, Graziano catches up with that learned doctor and hands over the ring. In turn, Nerissa tells Portia that she will get Graziano's wedding ring too. Act 4, Scene 2, Lines 13 through 14. So much for their excessive oaths. As Shylock had said, quote unquote, "These be the Christian husbands." Thanks for listening. This audio lecture was recorded on Monday, August 18th, 2025. The foregoing material is copyright 2025 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations, I have relied on the Norton Shakespeare 3rd edition, 4-volume, genre-based format.